Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. The 2018 midterm elections are now history, but what will they mean for the rest of Donald Trump's presidency?
A lot of this has to be thought out now because immediately both sides are already looking toward the next presidential race only 2 years away in 2020.
That's VOA Chief Political Correspondent Jim Malone. We'll get his take on the midterm vote and what the results mean for America's future on this week's American Cafe. The midterm elections are over here in the United States. Democrats have made gains in the House while Republicans made gains in the Senate. But what does that mean for the country? Joining us now to go over some of the results and how it might steer the country from here on is VOA's chief political correspondent, Jim Malone. Jim, first of all, thanks for being with us.
You bet, Dave.
Now, we saw several gains by Democrats in the House. It wasn't the predicted blue wave. But now we have a case where the House of Representatives is in the hands of one party and the Senate and the White House are in the hands of the other. What does that mean as far as the country itself?
I think what the 2018 midterms highlighted is something we've seen growing now for decades, the political polarization. If we look at red and blue states, as we call them, red meaning Republican, blue meaning Democrat, The red states got redder on Tuesday night. The blue states got bluer. So what does that mean moving forward? Well, the president has doubled down on his political base. He spent most of his time campaigning in red states for Republican Senate candidates. And in his mind, and in the minds of many Republicans, that worked. Republicans gained Senate seats, something not everyone thought they were going to do. On the other hand, Democrats were able to take the House because they built up a sort of mini blue wave in blue and purple states and rode that to gaining House seats in a number of states around the country. So now they have a stake in the congressional sort of balance of power in Washington. The question is, will there be some areas where the Democrats and President Trump can work together, or is it inevitably going to lead to more gridlock?
And that's the question that follows on to this, because President Barack Obama, 2 years into his term after passage of the Affordable Care Act, the Republicans took over in the House, and that was it. There wasn't anything else that could, even things that parties said they wanted, like immigration reform and other things, could not get through the House. Do you think that could happen?
I think what will dictate to some extent are the actual election results. And what I mean is the Democratic wave did not really materialize as big as they thought it was going to. The margin in the House will be there, but it won't be huge. Also, they lost seats in the Senate, Democrats. So that means, what do they do moving forward? Do they simply portray themselves as obstructionists to the president? Do they go down the road of not only oversight investigations, but possibly impeachment? A lot of this has to be thought out now, because immediately both sides are already looking toward the next presidential race only 2 years away in 2020.
And we've also got things like Supreme Court appointments that will be confirmed by the Senate, which is in the president's party. The House really has nothing to do with that. And so, you know, if there's the retirement of another justice, like, let's say, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, then the president will be able to appoint one, possibly two more Supreme Court justices, which are lifetime appointments.
And with an increased Senate majority for Republicans, that will become easier. Not only that, it'll become easier to appoint administration officials who need to be confirmed by the Senate as well, because he'll have that extra margin within the Senate. So the dynamic here will be to see if Trump and Nancy Pelosi can do a dance in terms of getting some sort of bipartisan areas of agreement, maybe doing a little something on health care, prescription drugs, or infrastructure. They've already talked about that. Or will the Democratic efforts to keep Trump in check through oversight investigations really make him bristle? And we already saw at a news conference on Wednesday, he wasn't excited about this idea, and he was vowing to sort of strike back at Democrats if they do that. So once again, with the president, he is both embattled and emboldened, I think, by these election results.
Now, you mentioned Nancy Pelosi. It is presumed that she will be Speaker of the House because she's the House minority leader, now majority leader, and would be the odds-on favorite to be Speaker. However, she is also a frequent target of the president's ire. And looking 2 years down the road to the presidential election, having her as Speaker almost gives him, you know, a free target to play whack-a-mole with.
Yeah, so, and he has basically in some ways hinted that he is pretty comfortable the idea of Nancy Pelosi becoming the Speaker of the House for that reason. And, you know, there's some evidence here in the past. I mean, both Bill Clinton and Barack Obama suffered big midterm losses, but they were able to effectively in some way run against the new Republican majorities in the House for their own reelection purposes 2 years later. And we can probably see Donald Trump thinking along those lines of strategy as he now considers his own reelection fate. And he's already intensively focused on that, I believe.
We saw a big turnout amongst women, and we saw there's now 100 women in the Congress or in the House of Representatives for the first time ever. And there's the first Native American members of Congress. There's the first women Muslim members of Congress. What role do you think, particularly amongst suburban college-educated women, what role do you think they will play? Has this given them the taste that, yes, we can actually do this going forward?
Well, we can all recall the day after President Trump's inauguration, a huge march here in Washington, D.C., the Women's March. In a way, what happened in the midterms was the fruits of that labor. They fueled a huge movement among women on the Democratic side opposed to President Trump. They turned out in huge numbers to vote, and they turned out huge numbers of new candidates. The energy on the Democratic side that fueled the mini wave that helped them take the House was brought about by women in the Democratic Party, and that will continue to be a force moving ahead. And that could be an issue for President Trump in 2020.
And the beginnings of the 2020 campaign will be starting in the next 6 months or so, right?
Oh, absolutely. Now you'll see Democrats start to position themselves to announce whether or not they are running for president. So the real run-up to 2020 begins in the coming year, 2019. This will be the formative year for the Democratic presidential field. And if anyone wants to challenge President Trump on the Republican side, I would say that's looking a little less likely now, given the results of the Republican Senate races.
All right, Jim, thank you so much for being with us. If you would like to comment or ask a question about our show, you can do that by logging on to our Facebook page. That's VOA American Cafe. If you want to go in depth about the midterms, you can go to our webpage. That's voanews.com. Until next time, I'm David Byrd in Washington. Thanks for listening.